The Money Show. Business Unusual.
In our Business Unusual slot today, we have Colin Cullis, product owner at Prime Media Broadcasting. We're talking about working from home. Now, in an interesting one here, IBM, which was one of the biggest companies and one of the first as well to ensure that workers went home or stayed home to do some work, has now decided to retract that and has changed its way of doing things and has now said that it wants people to be back at the office. Now, does this help the company? Is this a step backwards? Some people may have enjoyed it, giving them the ability to be at home with whether it be children, whether it be other responsibilities as well, while still being effective, of course, for the office. Colin, is this really a good move or a bad move, you reckon?
That's a tough one. And one of the reasons for raising it is this is the kind of issue that certainly anybody with a job will happily be able to weigh in and give their view. Try and just make three sides here, and then I leave it up to people to make their own minds up. With the reason for actually raising it is that possibly people haven't thought about it enough. And so when something as big as IBM sort of does a bit of a reshuffle themselves here, perhaps it's worth noting for the rest of us. And maybe your starting point for us is just to have a look and say, because you'd imagine working from home is a relatively new thing, even though supposedly it is sort of back to the 90s and the internet age. The World Economic Forum would have us know that that was the third industrial revolution, this internet age that created all of it. But that means we've forgotten about the first and the second, because prior to those original industrial revolutions, of course, if you were a typical worker, somebody working on a farm or working in a forge or a workshop or something of that nature, well, you did work from home. You know, even a shop owner probably would have lived above or next to their places of work. So working from home is probably the original way we all used to work, and it got disrupted through that first industrial revolution, which added all the steam power, and the second one brought the electricity, and that sort of centralized us, putting us in factories and you know, service industries like banks, etc., where administration was done in one spot. So that's kind of the context for looking at the shift. So there's no absolute here, there's no right or wrong. It's kind of what works best. And I actually asked the very insightful people of 702 and Cape Talk via Twitter what their preferences were. And I gave them the option to say, you know, I would rather be in an office that was an open plan. I would rather work in an office, but my own, as in, you know, give me my own space, to work from home or to have a mix between the two. So I'm going to give you some of the options for those three and have a look at it.
Let's while you're at it, let's make that call, you know, on the SMS lines, 31702-31567. Send through your SMSs on how you feel exactly. Do you prefer working from home? Do you prefer working from the office? How should the office space be? Should it be open plan? You want your own office? Also tweet me at @ArabileG, available for all your tweets here as well. Colin Cullis joining us as we talk about working from home in the Business Unusual. And you were saying those three solutions or sort of segments are?
So there's working at work, so using an office space, centralizing people, that's where they are, letting people work remotely somewhere not in an office, or the hybrid between the two. And for things like manufacturing, I mean, if you're actually working with a product or you're creating something in a car plant or something, you know, the notion of somebody saying, well, don't worry, I'll build that engine from home, that's not practical. And you know, mining, you know, some miner says, don't worry, I'll just work from home today. It's not practical. But then more and more of the economy is based off services. So design industries or people doing theoretical work, services, sales even, you know, then it's not that, you know, beholden for you to make sure that everybody can be there. And just going back on IBM, they not only did this as a pioneering move, it was a significant cost saving. You can imagine the associated cost with having to set up offices and have people, you know, places where they're going to park if they're coming by car, or transport spaces for them, you know, to make sure that they've got enough time to get into the office, and then the physical office space and places where they can go and take a break and have something to eat. Yeah. And again, if you don't do a proper job of that, and I think some of the reaction you'll get on the SMS lines will be people saying, I don't mind being at work, but gosh, I don't like the environment at work. You know, if it's not a nice place to be, if it's dimly lit or very noisy and all these other things, it certainly does and make it very practical. And IBM has kind of cited something that Google and Facebook have done. These are modern companies. You think if anybody's going to embrace we only exist on the internet, then surely their staff would work everywhere. But they've actually brought them all in-house and made their office environments very engaging, to the point where they're almost, you know, they waited on hand and foot. But in part, that's because they really want their staff to have no excuse for not committing themselves 100% to the tasks in the offices. And some sort of corporate environments, you kind of imagine people feel entitled to possibly nip off to the office or not work that hard because, well, the environment is so really not fun. And I imagine some people maybe unfairly point fingers at those who smoke because they're going to be nipping off to go and supposedly have a cigarette. When in fact, they just want to get out of that environment that's not necessarily so good for them. So that's the thing to note about that one. But the plus side about being at an office, and certainly startups, and you know South Africa is not doing too bad in that regard, is when you put people together and they're physically in a space, the opportunity for cooperation and collaboration should lead to you being able to be a lot more innovative. And this is what IBM was looking to find, because you could be very efficient working remotely, you know, staying in touch with everybody, but you need to have clear processes and something already in place. And IBM is looking to sort of catch up on a bit of a slipping market share and not looking or not feeling quite as innovative as it used to with new smaller companies coming through. So they're looking to try and recapture that, which makes sense. I mean, small startups very rarely don't try and get everybody together, even if it is in a little garage or some little place like that. And so that's the big win about putting people in one place. The flip side, though, is when you do start centralizing and putting them into big office blocks or whatever else, unintended things start happening. And the city of Cape Town, for example, has acknowledged that it's got some serious problems with congestion. And so the city itself has introduced FlexiTime, trying to get its own staff to start working at different times of the day and spread out the sort of commuting times. And it's kind of interesting to see how other companies and other municipalities even might look to try and address similar things. And we'll see how it goes. And I imagine for some that'll be a pretty good result. But the flip side as well, just looking at the impacts on cities and certainly the startups in Silicon Valley and to some degree, Sandton is a prime example. When you concentrate so many people in a small area, not only do you get the congestion, you get some significant increases in residential and commercial property prices, something you wouldn't have necessarily wanted. You get a rise in pollution and other things associated with lots of people having to commute regularly in and out of a certain space. So that's some of the downsides, in which case we can look at, you know, well, then why not work from home? Because this is invariably what the big win was when IBM first thought of it. So let me ask you this. Here's a potential term to add into your vocabulary. Okay. Have you ever been in a coffice? I'm sure you have been, but you probably didn't realize it.
A coffice.
A coffice.
It doesn't sound too enticing, but okay.
Well, let's see if it sounds a little better this way. So for people who've engaged, and again, to use the World Economic Forum, the gig economy, the supposed fourth industrial revolution, where people are sort of working on their own, freelancers and that sort of thing, you probably just need a laptop and an internet connection. So you pop off to your local coffee shop, use the free Wi-Fi, tap off some emails and start working over there. So when you take a coffee shop and you add office to it, people simply compounded it and call it a coffice. So you can go and have meetings at a coffice and not have to worry about a space to go and meet people. You've got refreshments served right there. You've got your free Wi-Fi, etc. And some businesses have actually sought to go and try and capture that market. Another one that works similar to that is the notion of co-working. And these would be businesses that aren't related, so just two very small businesses, would share the costs of setting up a work environment. That way, if they're kind of aligned, if you know they're in the same sort of industry, they could potentially collaborate on some projects or work on some of them. And you'll even see with some of these innovation hubs that try to get created, you know, people of a particular industry, very small micro enterprises will come together and then benefit from the fact that they've got people that they can sort of bounce ideas off or actually look to try and create products that on their own they wouldn't have the capacity to do. But in this collective, they can create much much greater value for a client or anybody else. So that's a pretty powerful one that people might consider.
And then there's Samantha on the SMS line is just saying that it's more productive in her own office away from distractions. It's impossible to get work done with kids around, and you notice all the housework that's trying to grab your attention. That must be a factor then in itself, right?
Well, you know, you touched on a very important point there, because for very many managers, they've always sought to manage the people. And there's a certain percentage of managers who just don't trust people. It doesn't matter what you do. Yeah. So to say, well, listen, you're going to work from home, they kind of can't get away from that niggling feeling that they're watching telly. They're not actually working. And for some people who do work at home, when they don't have somebody watching them, you know, maybe their temptation is to slack off a little bit or not get as much done as they would have wanted. So that is definitely a consideration that people need to make. Having said that, you know, you put people in an office. If you don't have the right work culture there, what could have been collaboration and cooperation could be gossips and office politics and, you know, serious personality clashes. So there's no, again, and one size fits all is a bit of a problem. The challenge has kind of been that HR departments' roles probably have to shift quite significantly before they can embrace this, because we need to change what it is that we define for people's work output. Generally, we said, come in at the office at this time and be there till that time, and we trust that during those intervening hours, you're doing work.
Exactly, and you'll be productive.
Well, that was the hope, but the truth is that, you know, some people are always like that, some people are not, some people will work from home anyway, or very late if they can, and some people will just, you know, look for shortcuts. So there was this idea, and I suppose it's still a bit on the out there, it's called RO, for results-orientated work environment, and they replace the hours you work with a simple output. What is it that you create? You deliver that for me, and I don't care how you do it. Now, the easiest comparison I suppose I could give you is in a retail environment. If you had a salesperson who had to make a certain sales target, then you can say, look, if you're in the office for 1 hour a week, if I never see you, don't care. You deliver those number of contracts or results or sales, and you've got no problems from me. And it means that the HR departments then stop managing people and start managing processes. But that becomes quite complicated as well. Most people work in teams. If you've got to get a good marketing campaign done, for example, how do you decide who was doing enough in the design department versus the copy department versus the production department and all those other ancillary parts and teams that come together while not allowing somebody to say, oh, no, but it wasn't my fault. It was so-and-so. I couldn't do anything because so-and-so didn't deliver it. So that's very challenging. And most of us then default back and say, okay, well, all of you, you just got to be here for 8 hours and do your work and leave it at that. But if there is sort of a nice half and half here, would be the notion that comes from doing a hybrid. So one option over there is this notion of hot desking. So you can save the amount of desk space you need if you could say, I'm going to have a certain number of employees coming on these days of the week and give the others 2 days of the week to go and work from home. That way they can get the peace and quiet, you know, a little bit of focus time or whatever the case is. And on the other days, they're in the office and the, you know, the staff they were at the office are now off at home. But it means you don't have your own desk. You don't have your own office. You sort of just use a generic desk. And that's a possibility, I suppose, for some. And then any mix of these things would probably be useful. In terms of that sort of survey that we ran, asking what 702 and Cape Talk listeners were after, just over half at the moment have said they are looking for a mix of an office and a home. So seriously clever going there. 24% have come back to say they'd just like to work from home. 17% in an office but my own, and only 7% said an open plan office. And that probably is still the most popular and common version we're likely to see.
Mohammed is driving, but he says he works for IBM. Mohammed, what's your working space like?
Well, so I get to work from home quite often, usually around 70% from home. I think the difference is it depends on obviously on your manager and the role that you're in. So my role being a very operational role and working with people in different countries, predominantly in the whole Middle East and Africa. So the time zones are usually around about the same, but we all tend to work online. So we do a lot of video conference calls, we do a lot of training online, we do a lot of different things, not necessarily at a desk.
Mohammed, so do you prefer it this way? Do you prefer it this way?
Well, for myself personally, I do, because I travel quite far to get to the office. I tend to start a lot earlier when I work from home, and I tend to work a lot later when I work from home as well.
Yeah.
So instead of spending 2 hours of traffic in the morning and an hour in the evening, I usually spend the 3 hours actually working.
All right. Mohammed there, driving to Vereeniging, working there for IBM, and also detailing, you know, his preference there, Colin. So I guess it sets the tone, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, Mohammed raises a great point about the work from home or the ability to work remotely, is that sometimes the best staff that you'd like to recruit don't happen to live in the city you're resident or even the country. So somebody like IBM, which does have a significant chunk of its workforce outside of the U.S., gets to both benefit from those time zones and make sure that there's somebody awake and ready to serve customers whenever it's needed, but also that they're not refined or defined by where they operate to say that's where their staff is going to be. And there are some companies, they're typically these online internet-only companies, and the entire staff is spread around the world and they have no office at all.
Yolanda as well from Santon saying you work from home as well?
Hi.
Hi there, Yolanda.
Hi. I work from both home and I work from the office because we have laptops and we can pretty much be flexible. I'm a lawyer based in Santon, and I've just found that I think it depends on personality. So some of my colleagues prefer to work from the office because there's distractions at home, there's kids, there's whatever the case may be. And I found that some people work better from home because there's no distractions at the office. So people barging into your office asking questions, sometimes people making conversation. And what I think is the same people who back in varsity could study from the library, people used to leave their houses to go and study in the library because they felt like they could focus there,
yeah,
are the same people who will come into the office and spend time there because it's the state of mind, it's your personality. But if you were able to study from home and you had your old desk and you weren't distracted by the TV,
yep,
those are the same people who can work from home. And yep, managers need to be aware of that personality clash. So when you take someone who could study from home and you put them in a work environment and now all of a sudden they're forced to be at their desk between, let's say, 8 to 5,
yes,
you are limiting that person's productivity because they're not wired to think like that.
Very true. Yolanda from Sandton, thank you so much. Working from home and the office, she says she's a lawyer in Sandton, having to do a bit of both there. Colin Cullis was product owner at Prime Media Broadcasting. Thank you so much. That's the Business Unusual slot talking about working from home.